If you'd open your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 21 tonight. Joshua chapter 21. And we'll be looking at the text as we work our way through it this evening. We're going to go to a couple of passages also in the book of Numbers. But before we begin our journey, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and your people. We thank you for your grace. Certainly that is displayed in this text. We'll see it. And we pray that you would allow your word to affect the way we think about things, and we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to this text in Joshua tonight, let me just say I assure you I have no axe to grind because this church takes really good care of us. So this exposition has nothing really to do with me, but this text does deal with a theme, and the theme is the minister and the ministry and the monetary issues that are there. And sometimes religious organizations will boast about the fact that they don't pay their minister, and they're really boasting about the fact they don't obey the word of God. Because it is clearly the will of God in both the Old and the New Testament that specific people are singled out and cared for by the people of God for full-time ministry. And the truth is, those that God does single out are in the minority, not the majority. There are those that God does choose, and there are those who have the responsibility to oversee things and carry out the ministry of God. They're to be dedicated to the work of God. They're supposed to know the word of God, which you'll see tonight these Levites do. And as a result of that, they're to be paid. Now, there are those who seem to think that if one serves God, one has no right to make a living. And that certainly is not found in Scripture. We know that because this church is very well of the Scriptures and what it teaches. Now, the group that were responsible for full-time ministry back in Joshua's day were the group that were known as the Levites. These Levites had been chosen by God to be his ministers in Israel once the land had been distributed. And we've been watching that go down in the last weeks. They're distributing the land to the various tribes. Well, these Levites needed to have places to live themselves. And God had demanded that 48 cities spread throughout the land be given to the Levites so they could live there, raise their families, and minister for him. And there are some similarities between Old Testament Levites and New Testament ministers, but there are also some dissimilarities. And what we don't want to do is become extremists. We don't want to abuse things, because if you abuse things, it can lead to pagan popery, which features nothing more than ritualistic religion. But the primary point we do see in this text of Scripture is that when the land was distributed, God demanded that 48 cities be given to the Levites so they could move to various locations and minister in those locations for him. Now, the greatest chapter that spells all of this data out concerning what was supposed to go down is found in Numbers chapter 18. I'd like you to go back there because I want to highlight some verses from Numbers chapter 18 that pertain to this subject matter we're going to talk about for a few moments tonight. In Numbers chapter 18, we may make 9 key observations which clearly establish what God expected his people to do in regard to these Levites. You'll notice in verse 2 of chapter 18, "But bring with you also your brothers, the tribe of Levi, that they may be joined with you and serve you while you and your sons with you are before the tent of the testimony." Now, the first thing that we see here, that when these tribes were to go before the Lord at the tent, they were to bring this Levite with them, which is establishing the fact that the Levites were to be joined with the people. In other words, there was not to be some traveling circuit ministry that the Levites were to have. They were actually to be part of a group of people, and they went with the people when they obviously went to the tabernacle to worship. You'll notice in verse 3 of chapter 18 of Numbers that they shall thus attend to your obligation and the obligation of all the tents, but they shall not come near to the furnishings of the sanctuary and the altar, or both they and you will die. Now, what we see is the Levites were responsible for all worship. They were to lead the particular flock that they were connected to into worship. Worship was not some free-for-all where anybody just went to this place and did anything they wanted. It was carefully controlled and governed by the Lord. You'll notice down in verse 6 of chapter 18, "Behold, I myself have taken your fellow Levites from among the sons of Israel. They are a gift to you, dedicated to the Lord to perform the service for the tent of meeting." The Levites were God's gift to his people. Now, that's what Paul says ministry is. God gives gifts to the church. And there are certain people who are gifted to be able to minister for him. And God apparently gifts people, sends them to specific areas, and that's what he did with these Levites. Now, the fourth observation we want to make comes from the second part of verse 6. They are to perform the service for the tent of meeting. So the Levites were dedicated to the Lord for his service, kind of like an ordination. That was their job. The fifth observation we want to make comes from verse 7. But you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything concerning the altar and inside the veil, and you are to perform service. I'm giving you the priesthood as a bestowed service, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. Now, the Levites were chosen by God to form a special priesthood, and they perform special service for the Lord. And they were the ones who were responsible to do that. Then I want you to notice verse 8. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, now behold, I myself have given you charge of my offerings, even all the holy gifts of the sons of Israel. I've given them to you as a portion and to your sons as a perpetual allotment. This shall be yours from the most holy gifts reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, even every grain offering, every sin offering, every guilt offering, which they shall render to me, shall be most holy for you and for your sons. As the most holy gifts, you shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to him. Drop down to verse 12. All the best of the fresh oil and all the best of the fresh wine and of the grain, the first fruits of those which they give to the Lord, I give them to you. Now, the Levites were to be given the best offerings. That's what that text says. They were supposed to be well cared for. They were not to be given stuff nobody else wanted. They were to be given the best and the first fruits, as it were, from the people. You'll notice in the same chapter, verse 24, we read these words. For the tithe of the sons of Israel, which they offer as an offering to the Lord, I've given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore, I have said concerning them, they shall have no inheritance among the sons of Israel. The Levites were given all the tithes, which meant God viewed giving them means of support was giving money to him. That's the way God viewed it. So when these people took good care of the Levites, God viewed it as they were obeying him and they were giving money to him. And then finally, in verse 27 to 29, your offering shall be reckoned to you as the grain from the threshing floor or the full produce from the wine vat. So you shall also present an offering to the Lord from your tithes. Now, that tells us that the Levites were to give tithes themselves from what they had. So, in other words, the people were to give them money and give them substance, and then the minister was to give his own offering. He was responsible, as it were, to give his own tithes. Now, when you read that, it's pretty obvious that God intended these Levites were to be cared for, and he intended that they carry out his ministry. Now, as we come to Joshua 21, we come to a text where this pretty much gets underway. The similarities between the Old Testament and the New Testament are similar. Arthur Pink says when it comes to this subject, it's a divine command. It demands obedience. It's not optional. It's obligatory. And there are three main thoughts I want to show you tonight from Joshua 21. Number one, the Levites make their request. Notice what we read in verse 1. Joshua 21:1. Then the heads of the households of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel. They spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to live in with their pasture lands for our cattle. Now the Levites have watched every other tribe be taken care of. And obviously, at this point, they hadn't received what they were supposed to get. So they go through proper channels, and they make a request that they be allowed to get what they're supposed to receive. And you have to ask yourself, what would have happened, and this is the thing that I roll through my mind, what would have happened had the Levites not made this request? I mean, what would have happened to these cities that we're going to see that are given to them had they not gone to the priest and had they not gone to the leaders and made this request? Well, probably the place would have been left to squatters. It's happening a lot right now in Las Vegas if you've been reading the news. There are a lot of foreclosures of homes that have taken place in Las Vegas. And just last year alone, 4,000 complaints that people are moving into these homes that are just abandoned, and they're ruining neighborhoods, and they're basically moving in on people that don't want them. They don't want them in the neighborhood, but people are just moving into homes because they're empty in the Las Vegas area. That's probably what would have happened had the Levites not spoken and said, "Hey, what about us? What about our package that we're supposed to have?" Probably there would have been other people that you didn't want moving into the area. Now, when the Levites went to Eleazar and Joshua and the heads of the households of the tribes, they're not motivated here by mercenary greed. And there certainly is not some secret whispering taking place among the ministers. They're concerned. They're open. They're honest. These men are not trying to sow any dissension. They're not out to covet things. They're not complaining. They're not out telling people we've been neglected. They're handling this in the way God would expect them to handle it. They go right to proper leadership in a very dignified way. And you know, what this teaches us is there are things that if we don't go to God and ask for certain things, we're not going to get it. You know, I think one of the best things that we can pray about are things that agree with the Word. When we're going to God and we're asking Him things that actually agree with His Word, you can expect God's going to answer that. If we don't ask, we're not going to get it. These Levites do go and they do ask and they receive what they're asking for. Now, I think the first couple of verses are sad because the Levites did have to ask for what should have been theirs. They're the last to be thought about. As we've already tracked this, and this is the final distribution in the book, all the other people have what they should have. Everybody else had their inheritance. Everybody else was nicely snuggled in the land, but the Levites have been kind of lost in the shuffle. So they do what's right. They go to Eleazar the priest, they go to Joshua, they go to the heads of the households of the tribes, and they remind them that God had commanded. Notice verse 2, God had commanded by His word through Moses that they were supposed to have their own compensation and inheritance package. God had commanded that His ministers were to be paid. Now, there's no question that when a minister has to constantly worry about his own provisions, it does bog him down. I mean, this is somewhat of a humiliating moment that they have to do this. If you've ever had to go to someone to remind them to give you what they owe you, you know how that hurts. You know the humiliation of that. I mean, you know what it's like, the trauma, the emotional stress it puts on you. They're not demanding it. This is not a demand. And they say, if you don't do this, we're going to leave. But they had been neglected. It's kind of sad. Now, the particular chapter that deals with some of these city deals that they're supposed to receive is Numbers 35. So I'd like you to go back to Numbers 35. And I just want to make three observations from Numbers chapter 35. I want you to notice what we read. I want to point out verse 2. Numbers 35:2, command the sons of Israel that they give to the Levites from the inheritance of their possessions cities to live in. And you shall give to the Levites pasture lands around the cities. I want you to drop down to verse 8. As for the cities which you shall give from the possession of the sons of Israel, you shall take more from the larger, you shall take less from the smaller. Each shall give some of his cities to the Levites in proportion to his possession which he inherits. There are three observations we want to make. First of all, these Levites were to be given cities from all of the sons of Israel. Each tribe was to be involved. Most tribes that were larger were to give more. The tribes that were lesser were to give less. Secondly, these cities were to include the pasture lands. So what that would mean is these Levites were to have some breathing room. It isn't like, oh, fine, there's just your city. They were to have some breathing room where they could live and where they could raise their families and where they could have a place to raise their animals. And thirdly, the number of cities they were supposed to receive was 48. Notice in verse 6 of chapter 35, the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall be six cities of refuge, which you shall give for the manslayer to flee to. And in addition to them, you shall give 42. All the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities together with their pasture lands. As for the cities which you shall give from the possession of the sons of Israel, you shall take more from the larger, you shall take less from the smaller. Each shall give some of his cities to the Levites in proportion to his possession which he inherits. So six cities were to be the refuge cities. We covered that last time. And 42 cities would equal 48 cities given to the Levites. Now, it's obvious that these Levites who are now in this land are remembering this. They're remembering those promises of God that are found in the book of Numbers. And they're thinking to themselves, you know, we need to remind the leaders of what the Word of God says pertaining to those of us that are doing this ministry. There are a couple of practical points to consider here, and that is God's Word does demand that His ministers be compensated. So whether or not somebody agrees to do it determines whether or not they're going to obey the Word of God. And that will become an issue we'll see in just a few moments. Secondly, sometimes ministers have to remind God's people of this. It's certainly not a pleasant subject. You know, as I said, we've never had to do that at all here. And you don't have to remind the people here about any of this. But the Levites knew the word of God here. Obviously, they did have to remind them at this time. Now, the second thought is the people respond. Notice verse 3 of chapter 21. So the sons of Israel gave the Levites from their inheritance these cities with their pasture lands according to the command of the Lord. You have to love these people. And you have to love that verse. Joshua 21:3 is short and powerful. I mean, the people obeyed the word of God. They knew exactly what God's word said from the book of Numbers. And when the Levites brought that there to attention, they did it. They did not hold a special prayer meeting, or they did not hold a special congregational meeting to discuss it. They knew that's what the Word of God said. They knew that's exactly what they were supposed to do. And all of them were willing to give up cities and pasture lands for the Levites so they could move out into those territories and function as a minister for them. Dr. H.A. Ironside said, so long as the people were obedient to him, the Levites would be well cared for. In after years, when the nation drifted away from God, the Levites suffered greatly and in many instances were obliged to forsake the special service committed to them in order to care for the fields and vineyards that they might properly provide for their families and themselves. Now, I want to draw a New Testament application from this. You can't help but do that. When the Church of God is supporting a minister or ministry, and through that ministry, people are coming to faith in Christ, and through that ministry, people are growing in the Word of God, Paul tells us in Philippians that actually goes on the account of the people who are supporting that ministry. In other words, God keeps an eternal record of the financial support of people who support His work. And that's exactly what Paul said to the church of Philippi. These people gave up some of their own cities. They gave up some of their own land that had been given to them to the Levites, and God was going to bless them for it. Which brings us now to the third thought, and that is the cities for the Levites are selected, verses 4 to 42. Notice in verses 4 to 7, we read, this is how now the Levites determine which cities they're going to get, which cities each of these Levite family members are going to receive. Verse 4 says, then the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites and the sons of Aaron the priest, who were of the Levites, received 13 cities by lot from the tribe of Judah and from the tribe of the Simeonites and from the tribe of Benjamin. The rest of the sons of Kohath received 10 cities by lot from the families of the tribe of Ephraim and from the tribe of Dan and from the half tribe of Manasseh. The sons of Gershon received 13 cities by lot from the families of the tribe of Issachar and from the tribe of Asher and from the tribe of Naphtali and from the half tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. The sons of Merari, according to their families, received 12 cities from the tribe of Reuben and from the tribe of Gad and from the tribe of Zebulun. Now the sons of Israel gave by lot to the Levites these cities with their pasture lands as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Now, this explains how they determine who's going to go where. Who of these Levites is going to move to a particular territory? It was by lot. And God was sovereignly in this process of determining who was going to go to these various places. And there are four groups of cities that are kind of broken down here. Group one are the cities that are given to the Aaronites. Now, actually, group one and group two are part of the same family. It's just that one of them stresses Aaron, the other one stresses the Kohathites. They were responsible for ministry in the tabernacle and ministry in the temple. And you'll notice what we read in verse 10, and they were for the sons of Aaron, one of the families of the Kohathites, of the sons of Levi, for the lot was theirs first. Thus they gave them Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, with its surrounding pasture lands, but the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his possession. So the sons of Aaron, the priest, they gave Hebron, the sons of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands, and Libnah with its pasture lands, and Jatir with its pasture lands, and Eshtemoah with its pasture lands, and Holon with its pasture lands, and Debir with its pasture lands, and Ain with its pasture lands, and Jutah with its pasture lands, and Beth Shemesh with its pasture lands, 9 cities from these 2 tribes, from the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with its pasture lands, Geba with its pasture lands, Anathoth with its pasture lands, and Imon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. All the cities of the sons of Aaron the priest were 13 cities with their pasture lands. Now, as we look down through these verses, what we learn is Aaron's descendants are obviously located very close to Jerusalem. That is not by a coincidence. God wanted them there because they would be able to minister in the temple and in the tabernacle area. And the cities that they were given came from a compilation of cities from Judah and Simeon and Benjamin. They got a total of 13 cities. As we look down through there, we make a couple of interesting city observations. Number one, the Aaronites got the city of Anathoth there in verse 18. Anathoth, that would become the place where ultimately Jeremiah would have his home. And in verse 17, we notice that also they received the city of Gibeon with its pasture lands. And you recall Gibeon was the place where they deceived Israel to, we saw that back in Joshua chapter 9, they wanted to deceive Israel, making them think that they were distant relatives when in fact they weren't distant relatives. And you'll remember they kind of manipulated their way into a relationship with Israel. The thing that is so interesting about this and so staggering about this is that God gave them a Levite to live with them. Now think about this. These were people, you see the grace of God here. These were people who had actually tricked Israel into thinking that they were part of them, and they traveled from a long distance. You remember that episode in Joshua chapter 9. And God not only allowed them to live in that land, but he actually sent them a Levitical priest who would minister to them, and they would share in the blessings of God. One other thing I want to draw to our attention, and that is they got Hebron, verse 11. They got Hebron. Now, you'll remember that Hebron was a city promised to Caleb. Caleb was a great warrior. Just back up to chapter 15 for just a minute. This was Caleb's city. In chapter 15 and verse 13 we read, "Now he gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion among the sons of Judah, according to the command of the Lord." I'm reading from Joshua 15:13. "According to the command of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron." Caleb was given this city of Hebron, and he turns it over to the Levites. Now, what does that tell you about this man? Here was a man who had received this as his inheritance, and he takes his inheritance, a portion of it, and willingly, turns this over to the Levites. You know, it has been well observed, great godly men hold on to earthly things very loosely. And you certainly see that in this heart of Caleb, who is willing to give up his city to the ministry of the Levites so the work of God can go on. The second group is the Kohathites in verses 20 to 26. Then the cities from the tribe of Ephraim were allotted to the families of the sons of Kohath, the Levites, even to the rest of the sons of Kohath. Now, the rest of them are sharing in this. Now, this gets interesting. They gave them Shechem, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands, and the hill country of Ephraim, and Gezer with its pasture lands, and Kibzaim with its pasture lands, and Beth Horon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. From the tribe of Dan, Eltekeh with its pasture lands, Gibeathon with its pasture lands, Aijalon with its pasture lands, Gath-Ramon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. From the half-tribe of Manasseh, they allotted Tahanak with its pasture lands, and Gath Rimmon with its pasture lands, two cities, all the cities with their pasture lands, for the families of the rest of the sons of Kohath were 10. Now, I think the most intriguing of the cities that are given to these boys is Shechem. And why that is so interesting is you'll remember Shechem was the very place where Levi, and these are his relatives, Levi had committed the crime of going in there and committing murder. He had actually gone in there and committed murder because of that ugly situation that happened to Dinah, their sister. And Jacob was not pleased at all with what Levi had done. And now years later, his descendants are right back in this same area living in the same city. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that what God's grace does? Doesn't God's grace touch people's lives and turn them around to the point where a place that once was known for sin and once was known for evil now becomes a statement for His grace, for His mercy, and for His righteousness? Doesn't He do that with people's lives? Isn't it interesting to know that people who've made wrong decisions in life, bad choices in life, and God is in the business of taking those people by His grace, touching them and saving them and turning them around, so the very same people living in the very same places that were once a disaster when it came to being right with God now become a great token of His grace. That's Shechem. That's the city of Shechem given to the Kohathites. Which brings us to the third group, the cities given to Gershonites. Verses 27 to 33, to the sons of Gershon, one of the families of the Levites from the half-tribe of Manasseh, they gave Golan in Bashan, the city of refuge for the manslayer with his pasture lands, and Beshet Terah with his pasture lands, two cities from the tribe of Issachar. They gave Gishion with its pasture lands, Dabirath with its pasture lands, Jarmuth with its pasture lands, Enganim with its pasture lands, four cities. And so we read there from the tribe of Asher, they gave Mishal with its pasture lands, Abdon with its pasture lands, Helkoth with its pasture lands, Rehob with its pasture lands, four cities. From the tribe of Naphtali, they gave Kadesh in Galilee, the city of refuge for the manslayer with its pasture lands, and Hamoth Dor with its pasture lands, Kartan with its pasture lands, three cities. All the cities of the Gershonites, according to their families, were 13 cities with their pasture lands. Now this group were the descendants of Levi's first son. These cities were given to them from Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and they were given to the Gershonites. The final group is the cities given to the Merarites. You'll notice verse 34, to the families of the sons of Merari, the rest of the Levites, they gave from the tribe of Zebulun, Jokneam with its pasture lands, and Kartah with its pasture lands, Dimnah with its pasture lands, Nahalah with its pasture lands, four cities. From the tribe of Reuben, they gave Betzer with its pasture lands, and Jahatz with its pasture lands, Kedemoth with its pasture lands, and Mephahath with its pasture lands, four cities. From the tribe of Gad, they gave Ramoth and Gilead, the city of the refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands, Mahanaim with its pasture lands, Heshbon with its pasture lands, Jazer with its pasture lands, four cities in all. All these were the cities of the sons of Merari, according to their families and the rest of the families of the Levites, and their lot was 12 cities. And I'll just say what I said a few weeks ago. I'll bet this is the only church in the world that read that text today and read those cities. But those cities were taken from Zebulun, Reuben, and Gad, and they received 12 cities. Now, we read in verse 41, all the cities of the Levites in the midst of the possession of the sons of Israel were 48 cities with their pasture lands. These cities each had surrounding pasture land. Thus it was with all these cities. God gave these cities to His ministers. You know what that tells us? And some of these families had some really goofy things in their history. It tells us God is willing, in His grace, to share good things with His people when He reigns. People that didn't make all the right choices, but they finally got on track to obeying the Lord. Once they do that, They're in a good position to have God do some great things for them and give them some wonderful things. That's what he did here. Now we come to the conclusion of all of this in verses 43 to 45. And here's what we read. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers. And they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Notice carefully, God gave Israel the land. He gave her the land. But what happened? She doesn't have it tonight. She doesn't have anywhere near what's described in this chapter that she once had. What happened is she just moved away from obeying God, and she is not going to get this land back until the tribulation boxes her into a corner where finally she'll cry out to the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and give her the land. But the thing that I want us to see here from verse 45 is that not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. And here's the principle. When we obey God's word, when we put ourselves on a course to obeying the word of God, not one of the good promises which the Lord has made to his people will ever fail. That's what these people did. They finally said, you know what? We need to take care of the Levites. And God says, you take care of the Levites, which is what my word says you're supposed to do. And I will see to it that not one of the promises that I've ever made to you will fail. And they all came to pass. Now, I want to draw seven New Testament ministry applications from this text tonight. Number one, certainly the minister is not to make money the love of his life. That should never be. Money should never be the motivation for any minister or for any ministry. The minister is to be prepared to endure financial stress for the sake of ministry. If it's required, he needs to be willing to do so. Not run, not quit, but see it through. Thirdly, the minister is to be compensated for his ministerial work. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 9. We have a right to go to war. We have a right to go to war and be paid for going to war. Fourthly, the minister is to be compensated by those in the church who are being taught under the ministry. That's what Paul said in Galatians. Fifthly, the minister is to be compensated, if possible, at a level that makes it expense-free. That's what God says in 1 Corinthians 9. Sixthly, any fruit of the ministry is shared by those who financially support the ministry. Paul said that in Philippians chapter 4. And finally, the gracious blessings of God, just like what is said in verse 45, the gracious blessings of God will be poured out on those who generously support the ministry of God. Now, those are principles that you can see in the New Testament, and you certainly can see in Joshua 21. Let's pray. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you need to understand this. The whole point of worship, the whole point of having these Levites, the whole point of ministry is to point you to Christ so that you can believe on him and be saved. And if you will believe on him, you will be saved. Our Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. We thank you for the subjects that are in the scriptures. As Mr. Miles used to say, if people just go straight through the Bible, a lot of things will get straightened out because it's so clear on every subject. We thank you for the fact that this is a church that does take the word of God seriously. Thank you for the blessings we've enjoyed. We pray that you would continue to bless us and use us in a great way as a church. We pray that you would help this church always be a shining light to this world that is getting darker and darker. In Jesus' name, amen.